Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast. We're so glad that you're joining us today. If you would like to learn more about our church, check out our website at r4sq.org. Now stay tuned for today's message. Enjoy, and God bless.
Well, ladies, I want to tell you a story tonight. And I want to tell you a story about a single mom. She was on the verge of losing absolutely everything that she had. Her husband had died, and her whole world was crumbling. She couldn't pay her bills. The creditors were pounding on her door. They were threatening to take her children. You see, that was allowed in this day. Let me read the account to you. It comes from 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1, and it says this. Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." And Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in your house?" And she said, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go outside, borrow vessels from your neighbors, empty vessels and not too few. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside." So she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another." And he said to her, "There's not another." Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, "Now go, sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest." Now, there's a couple of things that I want to tell you about this widow, this single woman, this single mom. We're told that she cried out to Elisha. Now, the word "cried" there actually means to moan, to weep uncontrollably, to shriek out of grief. I'm not talking about crying like you're a little bit sad. That word there means that crying from your core that you didn't even know you could cry that deeply. Okay? So I'm going to set this up. She said, we're told that she cried out to Elisha. Have you ever been there? The kind of crying I'm talking about? She was at the end of her rope. Now, she's a widow. Her sons appear to be her only family. And if they are ripped away from her, then she is surely going to lose everything that she has. Something else that's interesting is she is not identified. We have no idea who this woman is. Not only do we not know her, we don't even know the location of this experience that I just read to you. Now, we have some indicators because she probably lived in one of these cities where the schools of the prophets, I just told you that, right, in verse 1, where they were situated. So she either lived in Bethel, Gilgal, or Jericho. And the truth is, we don't know. And we don't know her name. And we don't know her children's name. And we don't know anything. And this seems like a significant story, doesn't it? Well, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you who did know her name. And I'm going to tell you who did know where she lived. And I'm going to tell you who did show up that day in the middle of her desperation. I don't know what you're facing tonight, but I'm going to tell you this. He said to me, "I have them surrounded." I don't know what you're walking through at this moment. I need to tell somebody one more time. He said, "I have you surrounded." So the widow immediately tells Elisha, watch this, that her husband was one who feared the Lord. And since she appealed to the prophet, she was obviously an Old Testament saint having a relationship with God. Would you agree with that? So we see her appeal was ultimately to the Lord. Okay, but she sought help through Elisha. Now, this is a beautiful demonstration of what God intends for us. sometimes he's trying to do a thing and he can't do a thing because you're holding the thing and we've been disobedient.
Yes, yes.
And he's trying to get something to you so he can get it through you. Okay? If he says go, you got to go right now. If he says give, you got to give right now because timing is critical. You know, he showed me something very powerful today, and it was this. Every word that he speaks is significant. Amen. Let me tell you something. God Almighty doesn't speak fluff. Amen. When he speaks to you, you need to write it down because it's coming from God Almighty. Amen. Have you ever thought about that? I haven't. He said, I don't speak fluff. When I speak, every word is significant. No fluff. I love that. Something about knowing the creator of the universe is speaking to me just wrecks me. So the widow explains her devastation and she said, the creditor has come to take my two children to be as slaves. According to the Old Testament law, a person in debt without means or collateral to pay their debt, they could actually come and take the husband or take the children into slavery to pay their debt until Jubilee. So this was happening, okay? She was about to lose her children over debt. By the way, that comes from Leviticus 25. Now, I want to show you what Elisha did to this, how he responded to this desperate woman. Desperate and nameless widow. Wait a minute. Desperate and nameless. Was she desperate or was she faithful? Chew that right there a second. Was she desperate or was she faithful? Because sometimes those two are married. Huh. I see one other thing about our sister. She's not afraid to go in. She got up her courage. She boldly went to him and she said, I need help. Actually, I think she borderlined on blaming him. This is my version. You ready? See if it makes sense. My husband, your servant, spent all this time traipsing around with you. Now I've got debt that I can't pay, and I'm about to lose everything, and where are you in the middle of my suffering? Do you think she said that? I think she did. Because let me tell you, she went boldly in for help. It's almost like you're the one that helped me get in this mess and I'm going to need you to do something. She kind of hands it to him. Something very significant here. She was doing the right thing. He was doing the right thing. And her story does not have a bow on it. Her story's a little bit beat up. Her package is a little bit disheveled. Her bow is ripped off the box. And she was doing the right thing. He was doing the right thing. That is significant to know tonight. You can be doing the right thing, and then things not look right in the natural. Right? Sometimes you got to boldly go in. Why? Because you have the right. She wasn't looking for a pity party. She needed a plan. Very significant. She needed somebody to help her find one. I don't know. Maybe she was thinking about that double portion anointing that he had on him. I don't know about you, but if I need help, I'm going to find somebody that knows how to pray, somebody that prays and worships more than they gossip. That's right. If I need some help.
Right.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
You got to know who to go to. And I'm sitting here looking at this and I'm like, okay, she went to the man with the double portion. I get it. Why? Because she was in relationship with him. Watch this. So she goes to Elisha, and Elisha listens to what she has to say, and he responds. Let me show you what he said. What shall I do for you? Now, ladies, if you were here last month, do you remember us going in on Bartimaeus? And do you remember he's begging on the roadside, and Jesus, he hears him coming. Stops everything when he hears him begging. And what did Jesus say? What do you want me to do for you? I'm telling you, there is a gentle spirit in this when I read this. What shall I do for you? Let me tell you about Elisha. He was very gentle and sympathetic, unlike his mentor Elijah, who was fiery and fierce. What can I do for you? And at this moment, in a very unique way, Elisha represents the person, the power, and the help of God. Sometimes you're holding a thing, and you are the one carrying, housing the very thing God's trying to release. And that is what that moment was. That's who he was at that moment. It reminds me of how God chooses no favorites. He doesn't show favoritism. If you will come to him and ask, that's what it says. James 4:2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. I think our greatest failure is failure to pray and ask. Well, Elisha asked this single mom a question, and then he doesn't even wait for the answer. How rude is that? Did you notice that? Who does that? Watch. She needed money. What do you need from me? Hello? I can't pay these bills. They're going to take my children. I'm losing everything. What do you mean? What can you do for me? Are you serious? That's my version. But I think she did that. Okay? Watch this. She needed money. They're coming for everything, and she told him that. Now, some of you might be thinking right now, I don't know. I might give up my kids to have my house paid off. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, when they act some kind of way. But, so he asked what she needed and did not wait for a response. He said, what can I do for you? Watch this. What can I do for you? And then he said, girl, what you got? Look at your neighbor. Girl, what you got? Tell her. No, girl, what you got? That is what he did. He said, what do you want from me? And then, girl, what you got? I'm not making it up. That is what he said. So she's fixing, she's getting her story. Man, I'm about to. No, stop talking. That's what happened. He said, what can I do for you? Girl, what you got? She responded, I have nothing. Pregnant pause. Well, I have a jar of oil. But that wasn't her first answer. What was her first answer? I have nothing. That was not true. There's two questions here. The first answer revealed the size of her need. I have nothing. Look at my circumstance. I can't fix this. Do you ever feel like that? And then the second one, all I have is this jar. And that shows us the size of her resource. She's looking at this humongous problem, and then she's looking at the only thing she's got. You see, oil is a very important commodity. It was like money or gold. And she only had a little bit. Tune in right now for this statement. The way God generally meets our needs is to take whatever we have. Did you hear me? Take whatever we have and multiply it. Why do you think he said, what do you have? Because he takes what you have and what you will give to him, and he will multiply that. Does he need your oil to do it? Absolutely, he does not need your oil. But he wants to know what you got. That's right. Girl, what you got? That's right.
Come on now.
That's good. Do you remember the account of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath?
Yeah.
What you got, girl?
Right.
And then do you remember the Lord with the loaves and the fish, and what you got in that sack? What you got in that sack? to the widow, "What you got?" "Well, I don't have anything but a little bit of flour." "What do you have?" He is saying to you tonight, "What do you have, girl? Daughter, what you got?" Jesus. We got to use our resources. We got to give our resources and then see what God will do with them. Let me tell you what Elisha didn't do. He didn't look at what she didn't have. He didn't look at how small her resource was. He only asked one question. "What you got? What you got?" Now, I'm just betting she had a little bit of attitude when she answered this question. "Are you serious? Do you not see? I have nothing. What do you want from me?" Now, none of us in that room would give attitude like that. That's her. Do you ever feel like you don't have anything to give? Like, that was her first response. Do you ever feel like that? Don't raise your hand. Because I know that some of us are shuffling between the demands of work and home. We're raising children. We're trying to nurture a healthy marriage. We're constantly running between school activities, making lunch, church activities, preparing the meals, juggling every aspect of life. And at the end of the day, we look in the cupboard and there's nothing in there left because we're done. So we say, "God, I have nothing to give." When he says, "Girl, what you got?" Done. Well, that's what she initially said. "I have nothing." And then something rose up on the inside of her. She said, "Oh, let me go back to that cupboard one more time. Let me scrounge up on that top shelf and see if I got anything in there." And all of a sudden, she's like, "You know what? I got a little bit of oil."
Yeah.
Oh, you do? You think Elisha didn't know that? He knew. So he tells this single mom, "I want you to go and borrow empty vessels from your neighbors." Now, empty vessels and not too few. Why empty? Now, doesn't that seem crazy? How about, can I just go ask for some money? Can I just go ask for some? I got a need here, and what I don't need is an empty vessel.
That's right.
But he says, "No, I want you to go and get empty vessels." Now, I ask this question. How do you know how many to get? How did she know how many to get? Isn't that interesting? Well, I don't know how much faith you got. How do you know when to stop? At some point, she had to make the decision not to go to another house. How did she know when to stop? I can just see her. "Girl, I need to borrow some empty vessels." "Yeah, I'm going to take everything you got." Somewhere, faith stopped. Greed did not enter in. Are you following me? She could have filled up her house, filled up her yard, but that's not what she did. How did she know how many? You see, Elisha did not give her a handout. He gave her a plan, and he expected her to execute it. You know what? God does the very same thing. Doesn't he? Some of us won't even consider taking that second look in the cupboard. I'm going to say that one more time. Some of us won't even take that second look in the cupboard. You won't even climb on the stool to look on the top shelf. And then there's some of us that if we had a little bit left, we're not giving up that resource. And all at the same time, we're wondering where God is in the midst of our struggle. He doesn't need our oil, but I wonder what we're missing because we don't give him what we have and place our oil on the table. He doesn't need your oil, but what are you missing because you won't give him your resource so he can multiply it. That wrecked me. You know, as long as there were empty vessels, he continued to fill them. I felt like he said, bring as many as you have faith that I will fill. Don't skimp on believing for his willingness. Somebody needs to hear this. To supply abundantly. I'm not talking about just getting by. I'm not talking about skimming off the bottom. Don't skimp on believing for his willingness to supply abundantly. I want to give you something to think about on your way out tonight. I think that if we find that the supply of God stops, watch this, then either the need has been supplied according to his will, or there are no more empty vessels. If the supply of God stops, then either the need has been met according to his will, or there are no more empty vessels. You backed away. He didn't. We're talking about your faith, not his supply. Just gave me something to think about. So I want to show you three quick things. You know, the widow asked, she gave, and then she believed. Sometimes it takes courage just to ask. Let me remind you that had she not asked, there would have been no miracle. Who was that for? So I ask tonight, are you brave enough to ask? Some of you are on the verge of a miracle. Some of you have been playing and toying with that miracle, and you backed away. Some of you need a miracle. And I believe that. So next I'm thinking about the giving portion. God typically isn't asking us to risk everything. He's not asking that. He's just asking us to start with what we have, which already belongs to him anyway. That's what he's asking. And are you willing to give what you have that is already his? Doesn't matter how much, but will you do it? And then the third thing was, what about believing? Well, she could have said this. I just think she was feisty. The more I dug into that story, I just feel that. Because she was mad. She could have said this. Nope. Not doing it. My kids have been through enough pain. And I am not tracing them all through the neighborhood, begging for something, and us to get back to the house with a bunch of empty vessels that mean absolutely nothing, and I'm not doing it. Have you ever looked in the natural, and you had to make a decision on something you could not see in the natural? Where you go, you know what? I'm losing everything anyway. Do you hear me? I'm losing everything anyway, so why not? And I think that's what she did. Things don't look good. I might as well try it when your eyes can't see it. She made a decision. I love something Elisha said to her. This is what he said, because he's gentle. I think she was all up in his grill, but she's gentle. He's gentle. And he said this, now after you get the vessels from your neighbors, go in and I want you to shut the door behind you. See, I can just hear him. I want you to shut the door behind you. Why did he say that? Elisha's absence when the miracle took place demonstrated that the miracle, the power, came from God and not him. He constantly was pointing them to the grace and the mercy of God towards them. Sometimes we need to see it for ourselves. Elisha needs to get out. Because, see, we focus on what you can do for me. What can you do for me, Kim? And then I'm all up in Kim's grill because I think, oh, she's really close to Jesus. Oh, yeah, she is. But let me tell you something. No. Close that door so you can see his grace and his mercy working on your behalf for your family. Had nothing to do with Elisha. He was just a conduit. And then finally he said, I want you to go and I want you to sell the oil and I want you to pay your debts. And you and your sons can live, watch this, off the overflow. Let me tell you something. He is I am. What does that mean? It means I am whatever you need me to be. There was nobody to take care of her and those children. He said, that's what you need. I got you. I got you. Because when the question was asked to her, she went back and found her resource. She was moving towards what she needed. Here's what he said. Now sell the oil and pay your debts and your sons can live on the overflow. He's saying, go, watch this, and be good stewards of what God has placed in your hands. He's saying, do the right thing with it. That's what he's saying. We serve a God that's way more than enough. Way more than enough. A God of overflow and abundance. That is the God that we serve. Worship team, can you help me close up? So ladies, I want to ask you a question tonight. Because it's just us girls. What do you need tonight? What do you need tonight? What do you need him to do for you tonight? You ready? Are you brave enough to ask for it? Are you brave enough to ask for it? And if you're not, why not? Are you afraid he won't do it? Do you trust him? Because sometimes we don't ask because we can't trust for it. So then I ask, can you believe for a miracle when maybe your circumstance doesn't look like it's ever going to happen? Can you believe for that tonight? Can you do it anyway when you can't see it? Can you believe for it? Can you be bold enough to go into the throne room and take the blessing, take the miracle, believe for that? And for those of us that feel like we have absolutely nothing to give, if he said, girl, what you got, the first thing's going to be, I don't have anything. I don't have any oil to put on the table. Well, let me tell you something. The widow didn't stop at nothing, and neither should you. Do you hear me? She did not stop at nothing. That was her first response. And neither should you, regardless of how small your contribution is. She got up that morning and she didn't know that that day was going to be her miracle. She didn't know that that day housed the very answer to her mess. So how do you know that tonight is not the night for what you need? You don't know. Why not you and why not now? Do you hear me? Why not you and why not tonight?
And that's a wrap. Thanks again for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast. We hope you were encouraged and empowered by today's message. If God has impacted your life through Restoration Church, we would love to hear your testimony. So please email us your story by emailing amen@r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week, and God bless.